The views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
I'm mad that we hadn't really talked about Masters of Horror up to this point, because that series of episodes is kind of my favorite out of all the series.
Yeah, I can agree. Problem with that, though, is they come in sets, and it's really hard to find the sets. I had to, like, hunt for my Season 1 Blu-ray set that I have, and then you're looking at four stories. If you know, they were only released individually when they first came out, so it's kind of hard to put them down on the calendar if you can't really find them.
Yeah.
You know?
I have a couple of them that I've picked up here and there where it's like two of the stories on one disc kind of deal. Mm-hmm. So there's the, like, Pick Me Up and Dear Woman or something, that kind of deal where there's two of them. But they're basically mini-movies.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're about 20 minutes shorter than a pretty standard... I mean, 80 minutes is pretty standard for a horror movie length, so 60 yeah. minutes, that's not too far off.
And they're, like, just... That means they're chock full. There's, like, no slowing down in, like, pretty much any of them.
And what I do like also is that there's a lot of adaptations of, like, classic stuff. I know that there was the Tales from the Witch House, I think, which was a Lovecraft story.
Stuart Gordon did that
one. Stuart Gordon did, yeah. Yep. And what did he do as well? He did... the poem.
Yeah, he did the Black Cat with, what the fuck's his name?
Herbert West.
The actor.
Oh, yeah.
Jeffrey Combs plays, he plays someone that looks like Edgar Allan Poe in the movie, actually.
Basically, massive head.
Dude.
Massive dome.
So that hair doesn't work well.
No.
Oh, no, I was just like, dude, the massive head. The
massive head and then big forehead. Big
yeah.
old forehead.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot. And what I love is that, like, even the portraits of him, it's like, are you a cartoon of Poe? Because he looks... The worst, though, is, have you ever seen the movie The Raven with John Cusack?
Yes, I have.
Can we not talk that about that, please?
Fucking tire fire of a movie.
Oh, my God.
Where it's just John Cusack yelling at people for 2 hours.
Oh, it was painful.
It was super painful. And him trying to rock the Poe look is... jarring.
He felt so good about it, you could tell.
Oh, he was way into it. He's like,
was
I get to
so
play Poe.
Fucking
amazing.
Into it.
Only person that can rock the Poe look is Poe. I'm sorry.
That's true.
It's just no one else can look that sickly and also smart at the same time, I guess is the right way to say it.
Well, he was like, had the... there's two things. He either had like syphilis? The thing that makes your head like super big, or carbon monoxide poisoning.
That's
one of the theories about
theory.
How he died, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a number of theories that I definitely want to go over later, but we've got a lot to talk about Poe on this episode. We're talking about Edgar Allan Poe on this episode, which is long overdue. We are going into close to 5 years of this podcast, and this is one of the towns that's discussed heavily when talking Edgar Allan Poe. This is kind of his hometown. In many ways.
Yeah, represent.
We're kind of like in argument with Baltimore regularly about, and Boston.
Yeah, and Boston.
Yeah, Baltimore's just, he died there. Yeah.
Baltimore's trying to get
born there.
Baltimore's trying to get
there. He was born in Boston, lived in Richmond, and then just died
in Baltimore.
Yeah, he just died there.
In a ditch.
Oh,
in a fucking ditch.
Oh.
Yikes.
Like many of the Ravens fans in Baltimore.
So. Damn.
Yeah, Baltimore is trying to get a leg up on Richmond by naming their football team after an Edgar Allan Poe story, and that's fine. That's the only team I know of that has a literary reference as their choice for a team name. So
that's true.
It's kind of cool.
Coming in hot, but also true.
Especially since most people in Baltimore can't read. But
coming in so hot. It is scalding.
We have some angst against the Maryland.
Truly. Well, I have an angst against the city of Baltimore. I actually know a bunch of people in Baltimore that are rad, so it's not actually
the
people there.
Well, they don't fucking care about you anymore. That's
like,
over.
Like, well,
fuck this guy.
Why did all our Baltimore subscribers just stop?
You
drop
fucked
off.
It up, hot.
But we are talking about Edgar Allan Poe on this episode of Geeks Under the Influence. We're getting into his life, his works, how... Some of the conversation in line with his works and what they meant and kind of his ideologies are also going to be discussed. So welcome to this episode 174 of Geeks Under the Influence. Say it ain't Poe. Whoa, whoa.
No.
Stop.
Gonna pull out the, you know, Once upon a midnight dream.
Oh,
oh my God.
You are all fired.
Yeah.
You're all fired.
So this episode is between me and Lowdown.
Yes.
Everybody else get the fuck out.
Yeah, pretty much.
Out. Roll out.
Ugh. Like I said, I'm on new medication, and one of the side effects is an increase in dad jokes, so you guys are fucked.
Okay, I want to read the bottle.
You don't get to read the bottle.
You're denied the bottle.
You have to take my word for it.
No.
I do want to give a thank you to Unmaker for letting us use their song Sura Eye off their album Firmament. They are actually on tour at the tail end of October going into November. They're doing a Halloween show at Gallery 5 here in RVA. They're in Philly on the 1st of November at the Vanishing Point, the 2nd in DC at Slash Run, the 4th in Pittsburgh at Babyland, the 5th of November in Ann Arbor at the Lo-Fi Bar, and the 6th of November in Huntington, West Virginia at the V Club, and back in Richmond on the 7th of November at Richmond Music Hall for another show. So look up Unmaker on Facebook to find their page. That'll have all the dates and all the info there as well. Great band, going back to that 80s gothy stuff. So much fun. Great show, and just there's no bands doing that shit anymore.
Poe would approve.
Poe would super approve.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He would, or write a like really shitty critique of it in, at whatever magazine he was
working
at. A strongly
worded
time.
Letter.
Yes.
A strongly worded letter.
He was known for that. He was known for writing some really shitty stuff.
God.
And then got mad when people reviewed him real shitty.
Yep.
Yeah. So we are going to get into that. But first, let's get into our panel. To my right, a first timer on Geeks Under the Influence. You may have recently heard her on Smack My Pitch Up. Amy Flynn's here to talk about some Poe.
Woo.
So this
can't wait.
Is your first time on GUI.
It is.
And but you killed it on Smack My Pitch Up.
All right.
It was good. It was a lot of fun. So I'm excited to...
It was there. I made you watch Twilight. It was worth it.
Yeah, we did cover Twilight on that one. But it ended up being a really fun episode because we were able to shit on it so
deeply.
Oh,
hell yeah.
Yeah.
Poe would approve of the shitting, not the Twilight itself.
Not the Twilight. Yeah. He wasn't really into sparkly vamps too much.
I don't think Stephanie Meyer was particularly inspired by Poe.
More into like putting people in walls and floors. That
hell
was more
yeah.
his move. Like inside of houses.
Much
that was,
cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't glitter
move.
Inside a wall.
And... Yeah, that's true. That's some like some motivational poster work right there.
I have it cross stitched on a pillow in my home.
I was like, oh, I never thought about it that way. You can't glitter inside a wall. Like, settle down. It wasn't actually supposed to be taken metaphorically. So, next Emmy coming back from the last one was Game of Thrones that you were on, right?
Yeah.
We got Audrey here to discuss the Poe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We
getting
need...
spoopy, resident little goth bat over
yeah,
here.
We had to get a goth bat on for a Poe episode for sure.
That's not me.
you're too sparkly, I think, for
Oh my god, thank you. I'm such a Cullen.
All right. I made some poor choices. No, but you've got some information more on like the life of Poe because he has a fucked up life.
Well, yeah, because like in sixth grade, we had to do like something about like a literary person, and somehow I, of course, land on Poe, and I think that was a major turning point in my life. So, yeah, I read a lot about Poe's life and everything, and of course, you know, had to kind of recite the Raven. So, yeah, that was kind of a turning point in my life. I was like, oh, yeah, creepy stuff. Ooh.
Creepy stuff is cool.
Ooh,
I also like
spoopy.
In school, they do this thing where they have the DARE programs and stuff where they're like, hey, kids, don't do drugs.
Yeah, I failed that.
Now on to literature. Everyone that did good shit was on drugs. Here you go. Every writer from like the 1800s back was on opium. Like all
well, they don't tell you that. You find that out later, and then you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I did like, I did a report on Samuel Taylor Coleridge, and I'm like,
wow.
It makes his stuff makes way more sense knowing that he was an opium fiend. Okay, because that gets wild. But yeah, Poe, yeah, definitely. Drinking and drugging was the name of his game for sure. Yeah.
Well,
and marrying
we'll get
family
to
members.
That.
Yes.
We will get to that.
We will certainly get to
I
that.
I will get into that.
Speaking of getting into it, let's get into my co-host.
What's up?
Inside of him.
No.
Wow.
No? That's
no,
later.
That's awful. Oh.
That's GUI Nights.
GUI Nights.
Yeah, that's GUI
Nights. Yeah.
We got Lowdown Brown MacGyver here.
What's going on, everybody?
We went to a gala.
It was a gala.
A gala.
A gala of I don't know what.
People looking for a table. That's what it was.
People looking for a seat. It was
a group of people trying to find a place to set their drink.
A gala of ultra low stakes gambling.
Yes, ultra low stakes. Here is a fake $1 ticket.
I even used that.
None of us did.
No,
like, the,
no.
The gambling table was scrunched up in like two different places. Like the mat they used to had the actual game board on it was just kind of catty. Oh, yeah.
It was a whole situation, but the food was good. They had drinks,
yeah,
and we got to kind of rub elbows with people like Kurt Autry.
Oh yeah,
we talked to another podcast and then like a fitness club. We did not go and talk to Autry.
And then just secluded ourselves to our own group.
Yeah, we actually just hid from everybody else and watched the responses of the best of.
I just wanted food and booze. That's all I wanted.
But and I knew, you got it.
I did get it.
Hell yeah.
I do want to shout out to the Ment podcast. We got to meet them during the gala, and they were sweethearts. And I was really stoked. They've only been around for about a year.
Came in second, and man.
They came in third. I checked. They were second runner up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. My bad.
But still, for less than a year old. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty solid.
It's
fucking
awesome. And I mean, like I said, it's the platform. It's, you know, people want to hear good, positive conversation.
Yeah. People need to hear it.
Yeah. It's a mental health podcast talking about like trying to take the taboo away a little bit.
Exactly.
So I dig that a lot. Yeah.
Kudos for them. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's a touchy podcast too. So like doing that is touchy.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
For sure. We are not careful.
We are not.
At all.
No, that's why, we get to say, like I said, Star Wars and dicks, and then we're good. So that's why we roll.
We're about as subtle as a Stuart Gordon movie.
Yeah. So last but not least, we got to my right, we've got The Hobbit.
Hello.
Yeah. The runner of a co-host on this, and also my pitch up
for this evening, I'll be known as Frodo Allen Poe.
Oh my
for the
God.
Remainder
God.
Of the
well, we didn't bring up what happened at the gala, Hobbit.
Besides
the rubbing elbows and the low-key gambling,
I got some chicken skewers that were pretty decent.
Oh dude, fuck you, man. That rib was the brown rib was the shit.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Some horseradish sauce.
Oh, I got the horsey rib. Sauce for sure.
Oh,
all right, I'll go ahead. These two may or may not have won Best Podcast in Richmond.
Best Richmond podcast.
That's right.
Yes.
Geeks Under the Influence.
It is now hung lovingly in the studio.
And it's not just the two of us. I mean, it's everybody in the network.
Yeah, we might be the guys that are on every episode, but there is a family of people that helped get this
that
going.
That put in fucking work.
And not just the showrunners, them for sure as well, but all the regulars like that come on and even like this one where last second, hey, what are you doing Friday?
Yeah.
Can you come on?
Yeah, I was kind of like, I know it's last minute, Audrey, but can you, you know, like you like Poe, right?
So that's really what has helped us get as far as we have is that we have dedicated people that are happy to like kind of do their thing to help out whenever they can, and knowledgeable, super smart people that are just know their geeky shit. So that's really what's helped us along the way.
Yep.
So the big ups to them. That's really the reason why this is the number one podcast in Richmond.
Yep.
I gotta get like a bullhorn noise that I every time I say that. So that's enough of that. Enough self-aggrandizing.
Right. Yeah,
let's get into a gentleman that really knew how to self-aggrandize.
Oh my God.
I mean, I don't know. I think
that's why he had a big head. He was so full of his self-involvement.
He was so full of himself, but he was so self-loathing.
Well, that's how a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of the people you see that are like, do you know how cool I am? Have a real bad opinion of themselves.
Well, I mean, his love died of the consumption. So,
or the tuberculosis. You know. For
right.
I mean, not even that. I mean, he had a pretty rough go of it, man. I mean, like, so he was born, and then a year later,
his mom died at, was it childbirth?
The consumption.
I
mean,
that's what I was really going to say.
She also died of the consumption.
I was like, he was born, his father left a year in, and then another year after that, his mother died. Thank you, Hobbit, for like just totally like.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
steamrolling.
Absolutely.
Steamrolling. And then that's when he moved to Richmond as an orphan. So his original family was the Poe last name, and then his adopted family was
the Allens.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's pretty rough go of it, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
But let me push up my glasses here. So a lot of what we know and what we think we know about Poe is because the salty bitch Rusty Griswold I knew I was going to say Rusty Griswold. Rufus Griswold.
Fucking no, Rusty.
Yeah, the Griswolds, you know, they took a trip back in time and, like, Rusty, you know, had this salty altercation.
What is this strange green carriage going down the street without a horse?
That's a crossover we didn't know we needed.
Yeah,
family
right?
Truckster. Yeah, it was like I was saying earlier, I was like, I know I'm going to slip up and say Rusty Griswold.
But National Lampoon's Vacation.
Oh, God. The Halloween Spooktacular.
I'm not drinking enough.
Oh, Lord. But yeah, so he was this salty bitch. I guess, like, Poe said something about his mom or something one time. And he's the one who kind of wrote the posthumous, like,
obituary.
And he was like, this bitch was a lecherous adulterer, and he was an alcoholic, and he was a madman. So that's what most people kind of, like, see Poe as. But it was just... No, it was this bitch who wrote this obituary. So that's, I mean, yeah, he was kind of like a sullen kind of guy. But a lot of what we think we know is because of this posthumous, like, obituary. And he also bought all of Poe's kind of like the rights to it from his stepmother or something.
Yeah, which is so fucking dirty.
What a douche.
Yeah, I think... It's paraphrased, but it's something along the lines of, like, you may be surprised that writer Edgar Allan Poe has passed, though very few will be upset.
Yeah,
or something
yeah,
along
yeah,
those lines.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it was.
It was kind of a mic drop moment. Yeah. Like, it is obituary, which is cold fucking blooded.
Yeah.
Seriously. Fuck.
It's like, yeah, but everybody fucking hates him, so it's cool.
That dude took advantage. He was the ultimate ambulance chaser, like, opportunist motherfucker. Yeah. You gotta kind of give him credit for that.
Yeah, God, this is so bad. It's like Nightcrawler.
It's
like,
dirty credit.
Fucking, movie Nightcrawler, where he just, like, would stage the scenes, like, before the cops got there to take pictures and shit of it.
Now, even though that guy's a piece of shit.
Sure.
Yeah. Poe wasn't exactly a little angel boy either.
What?
And... part of him, like, the philandering stuff is not for sure that he did philander or not, but there was a woman that was obsessed with him, was one. And then there was, like, another woman that he dated after his wife died of the consumption. And
it was somebody he was, I guess, kind of previously had a relationship with.
Yeah.
Then when, you know, his cousin, he's a cousin fucker. So
straight up a cousin fucker.
When she died, he went back to, it was somebody Royster, and so that's how they kind of figured, because he kind of disappeared. He was going on a trip to Philadelphia, and then they were just like, what the fuck happened to him? Like, we haven't heard from him in days. And then they're just like, oh yeah, we found out, like, several days later that he's dead.
Yeah, he was found in a ditch, like, manic and weird.
He was found running through the streets incoherent and asking for, like, help.
Yeah.
And then someone else's clothes.
Oh, that's right. I forget what the term is, but there were, at the time, people that were, like, grabbing people and forcing them to vote multiple times in elections. And that was actually during an election period. And they would, like, ply him with booze as a means to kind of control them during this whole ordeal. So there is thought that that's why he was in different clothes. That's why he was kind of out of his mind.
Oh, okay.
Well, he was also saying somebody else's name.
Like,
Reynolds.
Reynolds.
So that really fits in with that whole story as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and all that free booze has kind of took him over the edge, because he had been a rampant alcoholic since...
I mean, who can blame him, honestly? Yeah.
But he had been off the sauce for a while up to that point, too, because the woman that he was involved with, he had recently gotten engaged to, I believe.
Yeah.
And then he joined basically the that time version of AA and got off the sauce for a little bit. So up to that point, as far as I know, and of course there's some literary folks that might be like, he started drinking 2 weeks before, but as far as I know, he went up there and, like, sober, like, he was not drinking, at least. Was probably smoking shit tons of opium, though. You know, everybody did back then. It was cool.
Yeah, true.
So I thought that's the reason that the engagement fell off, was because he didn't stop drinking, and the drinking and the drugging it made the relationship not work. Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure.
Nobody really knows, and it's like his death is such a mystery.
I love that. So, for him.
All his paperwork's gone. Like, the death certificate's gone, the medical files, and when they announced him dead, and all that shit's gone.
When like, you're the master of the macabre and then you die under mysterious circumstances, right,
it's,
that's
it's
a,
apropos.
Yeah, apropos.
Zing.
All the zings tonight. All the
zings. No, but that's weird. That is creepy, though. How did, like, none of his shit survive, like, any of that stuff? Where'd it go? Like, there wasn't, like, a massive fire or a flood. His paperwork's just missing.
Well, when your enemy, like, has all your shit,
yeah,
fair.
That might have something to do with it.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, let's see. Who could
it's
it just, be?
It's so spooky.
It's so spooky.
It's spooky.
Well, we got, I mean, other enemies, too. He had the Longfellow War. Remember, he, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, he cited him as being a fucking plagiarist and, like, contrite and trivial and like, Longfellow is known as a, you know, pretty big literary name of the time.
He had a lot of critics.
Yeah.
Well, because he was a critic for the longest time.
Exactly.
And he was known as like the Hammer or something like that, where he would have scathing reviews of people. And then when he got reviews, he would just not handle it well at all.
Poe invented the concept, you can dish it, but you can't take it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
he was the forefather of the movement.
He was the first sad boy.
Oh, he was.
He was the archetype of all goths everywhere. He just got it fucking down.
Just like, what the fuck?
He's the goth father.
The goth father. Oh, no. I know that South Park even did a thing where the ghost of Poe comes back and hangs out with the goth kid. And it's like, this guy's a piece of shit. Like,
yeah.
He's not into it at all.
Godfather.
And the more you read on Poe, yeah, he was difficult to be around for the most part, from what it sounds like, which is kind of funny that all these women were all about him. But then I look at people I know that are into Trash Boys and I go, all right.
True. All the women at the time were like, I can change him.
Yeah.
He's not going to be sad anymore once he gets a taste of this.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to smoke all the fucking opium and then beer bongs for everybody, motherfucker. By the way, fuck you. Your shit is terrible. And she's like, I like that.
Yeah. She's like, he's a bad boy and a sad boy.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Oh, shit.
That's like half the girls I know's type.
Yeah. Like, he lives on his mom's couch in her garage.
They're like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, tell me more. When's the last time you took a shower?
He's in a grind band that practices once every 2 years.
Yes! I feel so attacked right now.
Holy shit.
That's half of the fan in Richmond, I think, or just, yeah, just like the re-embodiment of Poe.
People are listening to this drinking so heavily.
Like, oh my god. Ah.
There's a lot of people like, so where do you get absinthe? Let me just go full Poe on
it's
this.
It's gonna be
one.
A conversation where it's like, who's your embarrassing celebrity crush? Might be Edgar Allan Poe at this point.
Yeah.
Woodfuck.
But I was like, I was writing poetry before it was cool. I'm like, oh no.
Oh no.
Edgar.
Sexy name.
Yeah, by the way. Yeah, I think that's the first time I've ever said Edgar without Allan Poe following.
Exactly.
By itself, it's a little bit rough. It's like when Brendan Fraser's character in Airheads gets called out for being a Chaz.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh, just Edgar by itself. Nope. Even in bed, they're calling him Edgar Allan Poe. I can't do it all. I can't do just the first name.
Another thing that goes with it, how could they like put him on this pedestal of like they want some of that? So women were okay with dudes fucking their first cousin back then?
Definitely.
Back then, yeah.
She was also 13 and he was 26.
Yeah, 13. That's disgusting.
Jerry Poe Lewis over there just fucking his 13-year-old cousin.
Yeah, that was at least his third cousin. She's still 13, though.
I mean, all right, Jerry Lee Lewis apologist.
I mean,
Jesus Christ.
That's like gonna
introduce
you. Great
Balls of Fire fucking changed my life.
I just mean like the genetic, the gene pool is way too close with the first cousins. That's like
the gene pool is more upsetting like, than the age difference. Interesting.
13-year-old third cousin play ball, but
well,
is what
and
you're
honestly,
saying.
To this day, we're still like the only country that has an age thing.
That's
so
true.
That's all I'm saying. It's like the age thing is upsetting to me because I think that's grotesque, but that's also because of the country we live in.
That's true.
Other countries to this day still don't give a fuck if you're 18 or 15 or 14. The genetic thing that just breeds fucking like
well, depending on the state,
fucking
there are some states that don't really care either.
We have all seen Wrong Turn.
Yeah.
Well, anymore, like after everybody's watched Game of Thrones, they're just like, eh? Maybe my my nephew or okay.
My sister.
Right with Game of Thrones where people are just like before Game of Thrones, no, cousin fucking or uncle, whatever, all the family fucking is just the worst. And then by the end of Game of Thrones, they're like, you know, it's not that bad.
The industry saw an uptake in, family therapy. My pervy family.
Oh, God. All right. So to change the subject.
Hey, man, it was part of his life. It's part of his life. That's the one he mourned over was his dead 13-year-old cousin.
Oh, my God.
Like, yeah, that's the one he was all broken up over.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Well, he died like 2 years later after she died.
Yeah, he wrote most of his sad shit while she was just sick because he saw the end is nigh.
Yeah.
The consumption.
And that was the third woman to have died in his life, which, you know, he has a whole ghosting woman, the ghost woman, that haunting
undead
woman. Yeah, because you know, his real mom and then his adopted mom died prior to.
I don't think you can, even though that's literally closer to being ghosting is like dying, but like ghosting is not like when the person can't text you back because they're not alive anymore.
That's what you fantasize about when you get ghosted. Yeah. You're like, oh God, I hope they're dead.
I hope they're dead.
I hope they didn't just not want to date me.
I hope they're literally a ghost.
And, I mean, we can't like take into account people's bad taste and how they like obliterate the human language. I'm just saying. Like, all of a sudden ghosting means like, no, you're just not talking to me anymore. Like, no, motherfucker, it means you're dead.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
Yeah, I got ghosted. Oh, they just never got back in touch with you? No, like I murdered them. They are not... They're not an alive person anymore.
If it's not a Christmas Carol scenario, you did not get ghosted.
Right? Damn. All right.
So favorite literary parts of Poe is what we're getting into. Everybody knows The Raven. That's like the go-to. But there's The Pit and the Pendulum, Fall of the House of Usher.
So are these yours? Or are you just
I'm just
them?
Naming some of the big ones. But like, which one's really connected with you?
I think, everybody talks about The Raven, but because I was, like, an 11-year-old, like, kid just kind of discovering, you know, all this stuff, and I had to talk about Poe, I was like, that really resonated with me just because, you know, growing up in, like, a small town and not being, you know, exposed to some of this stuff, I read The Raven for the first time, like, holy shit. Like, this has just broadened everything for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, it's actually one of the first ones I read, and it kind of stuck with me as probably on the number one on my list of Poe is The Telltale Heart, mainly because it's the inner side of the guilt and how that will drive you insane. And I think we've all been there where we've done something unintentionally or intentionally where it's just driving us crazy that we, and there's no way to correct it. You know,
there's, along with that, Telltale Heart was, I think, the first one I've read as well. But also The Black Cat, which kind of falls in line as well, is that you are your worst enemy, both with, you know, you being the one that creates the prison that you live in or the shit that you're having to deal with is self-created. But also you're going to be the one that psychs yourself out and gets you caught or gets you in trouble because you just don't know how to deal with the guilt or, you know, your feelings.
Yeah,
just end up eating away at you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I loved about Poe is that it was a lot of internalizing. Like a lot of his stories were about how it affected the narrator or, you know, the main character, as opposed to it being this villain. You know, there were those moments. There was, the Rumorg.
Is that your second favorite one?
No, that one, like I ended up reading about kind of possibly its meaning before I read Rumorg for the first time. And
that's such a turn in that when you read that.
So when I read it, it was already kind of like ruined for me a bit.
Definitely.
That was like the first detective story, officially, unofficially.
That's officially the first detective story. Like, that's what's like, credited.
Talk about a turn, man. I didn't even fucking escape Gorilla.
Yeah.
Spoilers, guys. Sorry. It's only been out for like, 100 years.
Magilla.
Over 100. No, it's been out for what?
You naughty Gorilla.
Years? Yeah. Something around there.
Yeah, it's
8,000 years ago.
8,000 years. But yeah, I mean, and then the film adaptation of that with Bela Lugosi was rad as fuck.
Yeah.
Too. But that's probably my second favorite is Murders in the Room Morgue. I really love that story. Yeah.
I love Pit and the Pendulum.
Yeah.
But just because I'm such a nerd for great vocabulary and Poe just leans in. I mean, it was so rich that I remember reading it as a kid and like using my dictionary and just really getting into it. And that's probably part of the birth of why I'm a giant nerd who's like horny for words at this point. Probably part of the reason that I was a literature major.
So you do like the word porn page on Facebook?
I love it.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Word porn is absolutely a good way to explain Poe as well. Is. That he made up words. He just made shit up. And then it became part of the vocabulary after a time.
Yeah.
And I love that. I mean, Shakespeare did that shit too.
Oh, Shakespeare is responsible for so many of the turns of phrase that we use now.
Oh, for sure.
It's ridiculous.
And the evolutions that we have now of it, right? Because, of course, we're not talking like that anymore. But, you know, there's
Even now, I mean, there are terms that Shakespeare coined that we use actively every single day.
Nice. That nobody knows the meaning of anymore. And unless you look it up on Google and they're like, oh, that's Shakespeare.
Yeah. Right, where it came from, yeah.
Nice, nice.
But Poe had a bit of that as well. And I always love that when you can actually create a new turn of phrase. Like fetch, and just by
make fetch happen.
I'm trying to make it, but just in the context, you understand its meaning. You understand why that word was used instead of the actual word that it's supposed to mean. It adds a certain gravitas to the scene or something. You know,
right? There's such like a rich tapestry, and you can feel exactly the way he wants you to feel, and that's why the word just resonates in that way.
And that's it. He was a very visual writer.
Definitely.
You could
visceral.
Mm-hmm. You could feel like what's happening in the story when reading Poe.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
That was the opium, I think.
That is really it. Cuz it was the Black Cat with Vincent Price. So there was a good visual there too with that. They brought that to life.
No, there was a couple Black Cats, but I think the one you're talking about was, I'm pretty sure that was Vincent Price.
Was it where he goes to do the wine tasting and then he gets him drunk and he has him come back?
Yes, because I remember him making the stupid wine faces where he's slurping and doing all the stuff. Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
That was so good.
But I mean, I thought that was a good visual representation. I mean, well, actually a good story of his that was, you really could just picture it was The Mask of the Red Death.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And,
like when you describe like just the blood oozing out, you're like,
his pores, just everywhere.
Yeah, the way it was written. Oh.
Well, his novel, Arthur Gordon Pym, or the narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym, was really, really widely critiqued because it was so gruesome.
Who wrote the sequel to that?
I didn't know there was a sequel to that.
Yeah, someone wrote an unofficial sequel to that. Sorry, we'll get into that.
No, that's amazing. Oh, no, I was just going to say that at the time, there wasn't anything that was that gruesome. And so people were really upset by it because it was too visceral and it was too real. And that's part of the reason that it was not widely received at all. He got so much shit for it that he ended up having to be like, yeah, it's silly. Don't take it seriously, even though I put blood, sweat, and tears into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone wrote an unofficial sequel to that story.
Well, we are actually getting close to the break, so we can actually take our break and kind of look that info up to bring back on the second half here. But we got so much more to talk about with Poe. I mean, we've mentioned a few things and also a little bit of his life, but there's so much more, including his influence on Richmond and the cities that he came from, the influence on stories. I mean, just like Shakespeare created archetypes that were used from that then on in stories, Poe did the same thing with a lot of these characters. And a lot of these stories have been kind of like put a skin on it to make it a new movie, even though it's a lot of the same, like same beats as his stories. So I'm excited about the second half here. We got so much more to crack into. Granted, not going to cover everything because we got an hour.
Never do.
I'm stoked. We finally get to do Poe. So stick around and we'll be back right after some info about what's happening in town with GY. Hey geeks, I'm here to give you a little rundown on what's happening for the month of October with Geeks Under the Influence. First up, on the 21st is our next Halloween edition of Fallout Trivia. The 24th of October is Crypt Tease with Burlesque Right Meow folks at the Firehouse Theater. Then on the 25th of October is Busky stand-up comedy with our buddy Carltron, the Carlton K, doing the emceeing. And then the 28th of October, just a few days before Halloween, is another night of trivia with Geeks Under the Influence at Fallout. So come out to that and get your spooky on. I'm going to be in costume. You are more than welcome to do the same. And we'll see you at all our events. We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence. All things Edgar, Alan, Poe. Woo-hoo-boo. Pew-pew-pew-pew.
Okay.
That's a little too extra,
that's,
I think, for the...
super extra. It's like you're talking about a sci-fi writer, like... Plan 9 from Outer Space shit.
Orson Scott Poe. Pew, 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 pew. Yeah, no. We are talking Edgar Allan Poe, but before we get more into Edgar Allan Poe, we got to talk about our sponsors a little bit. The ones that help us pay for all the ridiculousness that we do here at GUI Network. First off, of course, is Amazon.com. It is the Halloween season, which means there is plenty of stuff that you're getting, whether it be lawn ornamentation or telltale hearts or, I don't know, bricks to wall up the cat that won't leave you alone. Or the movies that we've talked about on episodes or stories from Edgar Allan Poe. And you can get that all at Amazon.com. Just make sure you go through the link at GUIpodcast.com, upper right-hand corner of the homepage. Click on that. Anything you purchase through that link, we get credit for. So it's a way to show your love to the show without spending any additional money that you need for all your Halloween festivities. So Poe would approve.
Yeah, I just bought a bunch of stuff.
Stuff. Yeah, I've got
lights and
some costuming stuff that I will be picking up via Amazon very shortly. I know Amy's got some stuff in her basket right now, right?
I might.
You might?
I might.
You just might.
Yeah.
There might be a costume we're working on that's going to upset everyone.
Oh, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, it's going to be
but it's going to be great.
In the best way, yeah.
Yeah, I've got... I finished off my costume and then bought some lights and some cords and some stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what's nice, too, is there's little things that you need that just for around the house kind of thing that you just don't think of. So you can just put it together in your basket and then eventually be like, oh, well, now I have $200 worth of shit. And I guess I should probably check out. And then you have like 8 boxes show up with just random shit.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. But you can do that in the Halloween season with the little, you know, fake candles that you put in your pumpkins or even the fake pumpkins to put your fake candle in. Just do it up that way. And they're all available at Amazon.com. Just go through our link at GUIpodcast.com. Next up is TeePublic.
Yeah.
Talk about Tis the Season. We've got like 7 or 8 spooky designs now at this point. We've got the designs from last year. We've got the designs from this year. And then we've got the From the Mouths of Madness shirt. We've got a bunch of stuff now available at our TeePublic page. That it's perfect for this season because just because it is not a costume day where you're going to a party or something like that doesn't mean you can't show the spooky. Get your Ouija board shirt or your J. Baruchel Rules shirt.
Yep. No.
Halloween is every day.
Absolutely.
No, never get the J. Baruchel.
If you believe.
We have so many cool designs. Don't get the J. Baruchel one.
Get the J. Baruchel one. If any of you out there gets the J. Baruchel shirt, please hashtag it. Hashtag us. Tag us in it. So that I can show it to Lowdown's face and see other people appreciate the joy that is Jay Baruchel as well.
If you want to see Hobbit cry, buy the Jay Baruchel shirt.
Tears of joy.
Exactly.
If you want to see me punch Hobbit's phone.
If you want to see Lowdown cry for different reasons, buy the Jay Baruchel shirt.
Exactly.
It'd be more like a red rage, probably. I don't know about crying.
But we did just release a new design, is the Hellraiser Bop It, where it's the it's a puzzle box done as the Bop It. So twist it, pull it, bop it, tear your soul apart.
Join us or die.
Yeah, join us. It says join us or die with the puzzle box with the Bop It pieces attached to it. It's awesome. Incredibly stupid and I love it.
That's much a tagline for GUI.
That's for everything GUI is. It's incredibly stupid and I love it. Yeah, for sure. So it absolutely embodies GUI for being both just fucking weird and a mashup. So that works. And that's our sponsors. That's what we got for ways for you to help out the show and also a way for you to get some cool merch. Also, TeePublic now has magnets with all the designs available as well. That's a new addition.
Oh, so buttons, now the magnets.
Yep. Yeah, buttons were the newest thing and now magnets as well.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So they're coming up. I'm just waiting for them to go koozies.
Full. They need koozies. Why the fuck don't they have koozies?
Well, I'll send a letter.
Oh, you're going to make the change.
Actually, we have a person that we talked to. We have like a specific person that we talked to at TeePublic. So yeah, I'll just shoot a message.
Dude, koozies. Oh my God. My koozie collection needs to get bigger, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't have like 200 koozies already. I need one of all the 30 designs that we have available.
I mean, I totally would because when they go on sale, they'd be like $2.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
also, if you're going to write that letter, could you make sure to put neoprene koozies?
Neoprene, for sure.
Foam koozies?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
So that brings us to our next segment of GUI, which is talking about the lubrication that allows us to talk so eloquently about stuff like Edgar Allan Poe.
No, we're talking about what we're drinking.
Hey! We're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go.
Hey. So yeah, yeah, we've got a share that Lowdown was nice enough to bring to us. What are we sipping on?
We're drinking on Black Pumpkin Oatmeal Stout.
Which we determined sounds like a blaxploitation horror film.
It
starring
does.
Pam Grier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's by Buffalo Bill's Brewery.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ugh.
I don't know where they're from. Oh, San Jose, California.
Okay.
Oh, because California is okay with it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fucking Winona. Whatever. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. It's Los Angeles, California.
Oh, Los Angeles, California? Mm-hmm. No, I'm not okay with it anymore.
Okay, yeah. Exactly.
Fuck that beer.
Fucking whatever.
All right, so what is this?
It's an oatmeal stout brewed with pumpkin and with natural spices.
Not too shabby.
No, it's good. It's not super sweet. The darkness in the back end of it, it kind of, yeah, levels it out. It's not like drinking a straight pumpkin ale or, you know.
But if you're looking for that pronounced pumpkin flavor, this definitely has it.
It's got the pronounced pumpkin flavor. It's got some spice to it, too. It's got a little bite.
It's festive as hell.
Yeah.
And it's 7.9%.
Nice.
So it's a Dick Grazer.
It's a Grazer.
Yeah, about a Grazer. Yeah.
Tickles the balls.
Tickles some balls a little bit. Mm. It's not going to be overly violent to your genitals.
Yeah.
Beer here.
Oh, thank God.
Not the double digits where it's kicking that dick.
Yeah, no dick kicking on this one for sure.
But it is a tasty treat.
Now, Amy, you've got something that's interesting as well, something local.
Oh, I went local.
Yeah.
Because I had to for Poe, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I have the Hardywood Great Return. It's an IPA.
Which we determined works for when he returned to Richmond when his stepfather was still ill.
There was too much discussion around this.
Yes, there was too much.
Isn't that technically East Coast local?
That is East Coast local.
Mm.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Mm. That would be East Coast local.
Exactly. Are we letting it die now?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm ashamed of you.
That I didn't bring it up?
That you didn't say, you said local. You didn't say East Coast local.
Well, it's local. Yikes. Local. It's not just East Coast local. It's local
ultra
to local.
Local.
We determined the distance doesn't matter. If it's on the East Coast, it's East Coast local.
It's like less than a mile from my work.
Yeah.
And that's how local it is.
Yep.
I could basically spit on the brewery. I wouldn't, but like from my work.
And Best Fest, it is the brewery that's closer to the event than fucking the Vale.
Oh my god.
You're not gonna let that go.
No, I'm not. Nope.
That
there was a trivia
really...
thing that what was closest to the venue where the Best Fest was, and they said it was the Vale, which it was not.
Which I said, but apparently I was wrong.
Yeah.
Even though the trivia agreed with me.
Two people being wrong doesn't make it right.
Oh my god, story of my life.
Yeah, right.
Whoa, what?
Wait, hey. What?
Oh,
that's an off mic conversation, I think. Because apparently she also wants to be off mic.
Bookmark that. Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah. All right, enough of that. It got dark.
Yeah, yeah. As dark as this black pumpkin that we're drinking.
Pew pew.
Pew pew. Yeah. Let's move on to our next segment, which is where we definitely get stupid. We're talking about making a drunken scene.
Making a drunken scene.
With Edgar Allan Poe, I was thinking of maybe doing like a movie that was based on his stuff, but really the way to go is just chose a literature piece, a little poem, that he wrote called Spirits of the Dead from 1829. So coming up on...
it's the throwback.
Yeah, yeah. So we're coming up on almost 200 years ago, this poem.
200 years
200 years ago, there was a man on opium that wrote a poem. So this is... has got four parts to it, so I figured we do one part a piece, and we're going to do it in our spookiest literary style possible. So here we go. Spirits of the Dead, a poem by Edgar Allan Poe from 1829.
Thy soul shall find itself alone, mid dark thoughts of the gray tombstone, not one of all the crowd to pry, in thine hour of secrecy, be silent in that solitude, which is not loneliness, for then the spirits of the dead who stood in life before thee are again. In death around thee, and their will shall then overshadow thee. Be still.
Coming this October.
That was like some, you know, like, what is it? Audiobook voice?
Yeah, right.
All right. I'll do my speaking. For the night, though clear, shall frown, and the stars shall not look down from their high thrones in the heaven, with light like hope of mortals given, but the red orbs without beam to thy weariness shall seem as a burning and a fever which would cling to thee forever.
I was going to do something ghosty, but I'll switch it up. We don't want too much.
Yeah.
Not too much ghosty.
Not too spooky.
Yeah, no, not too much.
I don't want to get
dialed
scared.
Dial the spooks.
Now our thoughts that shall not vanish. Now our visions now to vanish. From my spirit shall they pass. No more like dewdrops from the grass.
Oh, is that Crypt Keeper doing death metal? Like, what are you doing?
That's right.
I thought haunted grandma. Gollum.
I was kind of going for more of a Henrietta.
Okay, yeah. All right, well, there to follow
go.
That.
Yeah, you got to close out this game here. Yeah.
I'm going to go
good luck.
I'm going to go with overzealous community theater actor.
Oh, yes.
Which is the most terrifying of them all.
Yeah, fair.
The breath of God is still, and the mist upon the hill, shadowy, yet unbroken, is a symbol and a token. How it hangs upon the trees, a mystery of mysteries. Thank you so
snaps.
Much.
Gotta do the snaps.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. I feed upon it.
Yes. Here's your bouquet of roses for your...
Oh, thank you. I bought them for myself.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm suddenly dying of consumption.
See, merely speaking of Poe and somebody gets consumption. He's apparently patient zero.
In the great consumption outbreak of the 1800s.
Yeah. All Poe's fault.
Think about it. He was born in, what, it was 1802 and then consumption everywhere.
Well,
hey, you know,
1807? 07. I don't know.
Everyone has consumption.
200 years ago.
We can turn around the Family Guy song, Full Blown AIDS, and make it consumption.
Oh, my God.
Full Blown Consumption.
Consumption, what's your function?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There it is. Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well
done. Almost spit out my drink there.
Well
you
done.
You are welcome.
Well done.
So welcome to the second half where we go off the rails and we are
so
doing
sorry,
it
everyone.
In proper fashion for sure. Now, I do want to talk about kind of the effect that Edgar Allan Poe's had on the communities that he came from, whether it be Boston or Baltimore or Richmond. And we've glanced briefly on it, but there is one museum in Richmond specifically for Edgar Allan Poe, and yes. It is awesome.
Yes,
and I know two people who have gotten married there.
Yep,
and I plan on being the third.
Nice.
But yeah, he's got this monument there that was paid for by Edwin Booth, John Wilkes Booth's brother.
The lesser Booth.
Yeah. So,
one of us shot a president. Mm.
Just like,
one of us wrote some shit about a museum.
Yeah, right.
Who's who?
Yeah, right.
Mom.
Yeah, right.
But it does kind of like, I guess, really kind of encapsulate his life. He said that he was great in his genius, unhappy in his life, wretched in his death, but in his fame, he is immortal. And it is like a beautiful monument that's in there in the gardens.
If only I had the copyright to play My Immortal by Evanescence in the background as you read that would be just the best.
No, Poe would disapprove.
Yeah, I don't think Poe would be down with the Evanescence.
He'd write a scathing review. Yes. So yeah, Edgar Allan Poe Museum, if you are from the Richmond area or are visiting Richmond, then definitely check out the Poe Museum. It's super cool.
Yeah, it's very beautiful and it has like a lot of interesting artifacts about like his life and about his wife. I think they have like, it's a lock of somebody's hair in there. It's kind of like weird, but interesting. Speaking of also Virginia, I think thinks to visit in the, Maymont House. They had a whole thing about Victorian death kind of thing. So locks of hair were a big thing with the Victorians and around that time. So, yeah.
Fucking they creepers.
Yeah, so, yeah, but it was actually kind of beautiful the way that they kind of like braid the hair to be very intricate. So they have a lock of, it's either her, like Virginia's hair, or Poe's hair. And it's blonde. So it's kind of weird that would be his. It's somebody's hair.
I don't think it's his hair.
It's somebody's hair.
Oh, well, the Poe Museum itself, doesn't it also have original manuscripts too in there?
I think so. Yeah. They have like one or two.
And while we're in Virginia, I mean, another 50-minute drive, you could go to the college you went to, UVA.
Yeah.
And they actually have preserved his dorm room. There's a society that takes care of it now. It's full of students. It's called the Raven Society. And they're the ones that are charged with the upkeep and the preservation, so on and so forth. So that'd be just a cool little swoop in, you know, swoop out kind of thing.
Oh, like a raven.
Yeah.
Nevermore.
Yeah.
Well done.
Nevermore.
Yeah. Like the Simpsons, like that's one of my favorite Treehouse of Terrors is like the Nevermore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why you little...
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about the Poe Museum and then next door is Poe's Pub. So the little bar that's accompanying it.
Oh, yeah.
Is that, you know, Poe is so deathly serious. And I feel like they have a sense of humor about it. So I love that once a month they have the unhappy hour.
Unhappy hour, yeah.
I'm a lush. And then I love that Poe's Pub says, sorry, we're open. Because that just feels right. And
yeah,
it also feels Richmond. So it just comes full circle in that way.
We are a bunch of smartasses.
Exactly.
Richmond also, do we still have the Annabelle Lee here? Or did that end up going away?
I think it might have gone away.
Is it gone?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I know.
Oh.
You didn't even know it was gone. What do you mean, oh, no?
Oh, no. I went all the time.
I did when I first moved here. I was like, it's the Annabelle Lee. That's amazing.
I saw the Roots play at the Annabelle Lee. That was pretty rad. Yeah. They did a free show down there. It was cool.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just getting shit out. But I get it. It does suck that it's gone.
Yeah, that does. But it's probably up in Baltimore now.
God damn it.
Yeah. Fucking Baltimore. Goddamn Baltimore.
Let's see what other places. Well, he did. He couldn't finish at UVA because funding, and that caused a big rift between him and his adopted dad.
Yeah.
Also started a gambling debt motherfucker.
Yeah, because his stepfather was such like a stingy with money. He didn't even give him like all the money that he needed for his tuition. So yeah, he became a gambling man.
Got to make the money.
Mm-hmm.
And then
he did the opposite of that though. Yeah. He owed all the money.
He owed all the money. And then so with all that, he ended up going to West Point.
Yeah, he joined the military.
Went to West Point. And didn't last either. So he's like, I want to be a writer.
Well, and that is kind of a misnomer that all the things that you look at for Poe, he's this like waifish little sad goth father. And it's not that wasn't part of his life. That's probably the later part of his life. But he was an athlete earlier in his life. I mean, he was in the military. He was not entirely waifish for some of his life. And you can't be a military dude and be like, unless you're, you know, Captain America and they put a serum in you.
You don't survive the military. Yeah. Like if you can't, you know, do your
handle your shit,
pull-ups and run your laps and properly hold a gun and handle the power. Jesus Christ. Captain America would have been blown away in his natural size by a gun. Like they never showed the shots of that in the movie, but I feel like he would have been knocked back about 10 feet.
Oh, and I said this, I kind of wanted to bring this up. This was also going back to the Poe Museum. Their website has the shadiest thing about Griswold that I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
It was Griswold's distorted image of Poe created the Poe legend that lives to this day, while Griswold is only remembered, if at all, as Poe's first biographer.
So much shade. Yeah, all the shade.
About this dick.
And the thing is, though, in the literary world and also in the readers, that his Griswold was bullshit anyway, because Poe touched so many different things and created and opened up doorways to so many different
including
types.
Women.
Yeah, and he also had like such an influence.
He was a
ladies'
man.
H.P. Lovecraft, who did indeed visit the Poe Museum.
Yeah.
That's rad.
Oh,
Lovecraft was in Richmond. That's pretty
fucking
sweet.
Oh, yeah. He apparently loved Maymont and the Japanese gardens especially.
Mm.
Yes, he did.
Man. Yeah, speaking of Lovecraft, that's a perfect segue into talking about racism in literature.
Whoa.
I was trying to be all prideful and talk about the people that inspired their writing, and he's going right into racism. Way to go, Hobbit.
Yeah,
it's time for the sad.
Yeah, the sad. Yeah, there we go.
That's better, I guess.
Womp, womp, pew. That is something that's discussed a lot. There was something I shared with the group message that we have going for any of our episodes about a gentleman talking about his professor that went to like a Poe conference, whereas all these literaries that are actually like digging down to the point of like the number of words per line and paragraph, trying to decipher any kind of like hidden meanings in the writings of Poe. And in this dude felt that his professor felt wildly under like prepared for having a conversation, and went into a racism in Poe's writings panel that they were talking about the book. What was the book?
Arthur Gordon Pym.
And we also discovered who wrote the sequel.
Jules Verne wrote
Makes the sense. Yeah.
But he inspired a whole, like, there's more. It's weird that sci-fi latched on to Poe's writing because he's not very sci-fi.
Well, Pym is. Pym has a lot of like otherworldly, like it's really crazy. And then it ends with like an open ending where you're supposed to kind of decide what you want for it, which I feel is very sci-fi.
It's weird where they have a little top and they spin it on a desk and then that's like the end of the book.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
I'm kidding. That's not it.
No, totally. No, he's not. Exactly, he just didn't want to spoil it for you. I'm going to. It's totally in the book. like H.G. Wells said, Poe was, that book in particular was a huge inspiration for him as well. And other authors too, like Arthur Conan Doyle was inspired by Poe.
Melville. Oh, you can tell if you've read Pym and Moby Dick. I had to read them back to back, and you can absolutely tell that it was cribbed a little bit.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, but also in that book, that is one of the major examples of Poe being very problematic with his mentality on race.
I mean, it's not the war. Subtle at all.
Yeah. No.
Well. It's we can look at certain things with like now like a certain lens that, you know, we're so far removed from that. And I'm not excusing, you know, any kind of racist thing, but it's just you have to think about like we're kind of looking at it from a perspective of like 2019.
Sure.
Whereas back then that was like
there were people that were in the Civil War that were alive at that point. Like, and not even really that old.
Yeah, because it's like, of course, we can look at it now and just be like, God, that was racist as fuck. But then again, we're looking at as a perspective from like 200 years later. So I think also the thing that was kind of brought up on it was it also a scathing kind of remark about colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the interpretation is kind of like what you kind of put into it when you kind of read it. So it like in the thing that I read it before when you sent it, I was just like, that's an interesting take. So it's either it could be racist as fuck or it could be a take on colonialism. So it's. However you kind of put your kind of interpretation into it.
Yeah, because the story that I was discussing, the end of it, basically this gentleman that didn't really know how to have this conversation was like, well, what about Rue Morgue? What about the racist connotations that have been kind of applied to that? And they all got quiet, like they were having nom flashbacks, because apparently that's not something that's discussed in those circles. Because it turns into hot debates, like wide open, hot, like fist fight debates about this. And the speaker just yelled, "We don't talk about the orangutan," and just cut it right there. Like, did not go further into the story.
Well, that's why, as a whole, I feel like the novel, it's his only novel.
Yeah.
And it's not really discussed when you talk about Poe. You talk about the poetry, you talk about the short stories, but you don't really talk about the book. Because on a whole, as a book, it's not that great. And it's like always seen as not that great. And when it comes to the racism, it's like ham-handed. I mean, like any black character is the savage of the whole book. And then at the end, when it's open-ended, the savior of the book is as pure as snow, like the whitest you can possibly see.
Yeah.
So he's not trying to hide it at all. And that's why the book is kind of like, don't talk about Pym. Like, that shit sucks.
Yeah,
right. Let's talk about the Telltale Heart again.
Yeah.
Run that shit back.
Oh, Pit and Pendulum? Yeah, no, all day.
Oh, yeah, all day.
Yeah. That's got to be infuriating that there's this pendulum and it's in a pit. Like, that's got to be the worst.
Wow, you clearly read that story.
No, I absolutely have. I'm just being...
I was like, wow, yeah, no, hold on.
No, because I've read books about pits and I've read books about pendulums,
right.
But to have them both in a story at the same time,
it's
that's really
boggle the mind.
It's really pretty impressive.
God.
Yeah.
Only Poe.
But bringing it back to like some in the inspirational side of Poe, like we wouldn't have like Hitchcock, for instance. He literally stated that if it wasn't for coming across and reading Poe's writing, that's why I got into making suspense films.
Yeah.
And I mean, God, we had not only movies, but we had our own Hitchcock TV series, which was awesome. We just walked into his own fat outline.
Yeah. And talk about like inspiration. I mean, we wouldn't probably know Vincent Price as we do today if it wasn't for Poe, because a lot of the adaptations back in the day were Poe, had Vincent Price in them. I mean, he was in a bunch of Poe stuff back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. He was. Like a lot of it.
A lot of it. Yeah.
Ooh. God damn. Yeah. Like most of his early movie career was Poe adaptations.
Well, that's kind
of
like Stuart Gordon doing Lovecraft stuff. It's like Vincent Price did Poe stuff.
Well, also you could say like most. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say most of Jeffrey Combs' movie career was based around Lovecraft movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Fair. But Poe did have people that did not, I mean, clearly outside of Griswold, that was, I think it was different. I think Griswold came from a jealous standpoint. You had people that literally just did not like Poe's style. Like Aldous Huxley is noted for saying that he was too vulgar. He was not a poet. He was not an author. He just basically liked to just write the macabre for the sake of writing it. And where if you actually are a Poe, if you understand what he was doing, you don't miss the romanticism that's in it. But apparently a lot of people did.
Huxley, that's Brave New World, right?
Yeah, Brave New World.
He wrote about kids fucking each other. So,
exactly. Right? Like, in a way to preserve society, so I guess it takes the vulgarity out of
No, no, for fucking fun games. Like, that was in Brave New World. They're talking about kids diddling each other for fun fucking distractions.
Well, one of the things that I love, A, when it comes to Poe himself, and B, when it comes to the critique of Poe, is that besides Pym, Poe stood by everything he did, like, so wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And so he wrote that essay, The Philosophy of Composition, where he was basically like, listen, bitch, everything that I did on purpose, and here's how you could do it too if you want to be as good as me. And when he wrote that, he specifically cited The Raven. And The Raven is something that a lot of people will say is not that great because the rhyme scheme is lazy and all that. And one of the biggest critiques of it is T.S. Eliot, who I'm a really big fan of. And T.S. Eliot basically threw the most shade at the Raven after the composition.
Yeah,
the
old 15-year-old girl.
Uh-huh.
Threw like all this heat on the fucking.
I know.
What the fuck?
But after the essay came out, he was like, really? If you feel like it takes that much effort to put in to write something amazing, how come you didn't do that for The Raven? Like, it seems like you said you did, but clearly we've all read it.
Oh,
and that
man.
Shit sucks.
Oh.
And it was the harshest criticism and the best shady of that time. Oh, it was incredible. If it was this time period, Twitter would have been fucking
fire.
Flipping out. Absolutely
fire.
Losing their shit.
I could never say that it sucks.
Though. Hashtag nevermore, bitch.
Exactly. Hashtag nevermore. Poe canceled.
Yeah. And they could call me an uneducated swine when it comes to literature, which I'm sure people would probably, but like,
well, I guess T.S. Eliot might.
Like, yeah, I can't say The Raven sucks. I mean, is it his greatest thing he wrote? Fuck no. But does it suck? No, it doesn't suck.
No, but like, am I a writer like T.S. Eliot? No.
No. I mean, she did write The Wasteland, so.
Yeah.
That was pretty hardcore.
With the T.S. Eliot critique and just how Poe did the composition, like talking about composition and everything, mm-hmm. that sounds straight up like the playbook of a con man.
Right.
Where the con man is like, oh, I'm sorry, you just don't get it.
Right,
this is what I'm doing, where they get caught in the lie and then just make the lie bigger to try to cover up the fact that it was a lie in the first place.
It was like that, but for like, the lie was that you're uneducated. So, like, you didn't get it. Let me break it down. Here's the playbook as to how to write something good. And T.S. Eliot was like, bitch, this sucks.
Yeah, this ain't good.
This ain't good.
Yeah, well, T.S. Eliot gave us Cats. Which
damn.
I'm not hating on.
Oh.
Jellicle songs for Jellicle Cats. Ooh. Which, actually, no,
you're not wrong.
I have a copy of T.S. Eliot's Cats, so. I'm not hating, but I'm just
hating
you
a little
gave
bit.
Us the musical
if it wasn't
Cats.
For that, we wouldn't have the live action fucking abomination that's coming down
well,
the
let's
way.
All put Andrew Lloyd Webber into the mix here.
Yeah.
He was the reason that this shit show has happened.
Yeah, that is
T.S.
mainly
Eliot
his fault.
Was doing his best out here.
Oh.
I'm a little bit biased.
Yeah, basically.
All right.
I'm sorry, everyone.
No, you're good. We've got just a couple more minutes left. I want to kind of go over some of the inspirations that we've noticed in film and television and music and stuff that you could see from Poe. So we can do, adaptations. We can do stuff that was definitely inspired by Poe. So one thing that I was thinking is Two Evil Eyes.
George Romero.
George Romero and Dario Argento.
Yes,
and Argento. That did that. And one of those, I want to say that was the Argento one that was actually basically a modernized version of Black Cat. Was that Two Evil Eyes?
It was Two Evil Eyes, but was that the Argento one or was it the Romero one?
I don't know. Oh. I don't know. But it had a, what's his face?
What's his face? He's been in a lot of stuff.
Harvey Keitel.
Oh,
yeah, Harvey Keitel was okay. in it as one of the main components of the story. And yeah, it gets real fucking dark. I mean, that story is dark, but it's definitely a modernized, kind of grittier take on it. And I think it was incredibly well done. And then you've got the Stuart Gordon version of it for Masters of Horror. Treehouse of Horror, I think, did a version of it as well.
They did. And there was also a Murders in the Rue Morgue. The original one was with Bela Lugosi. They did do another version of that in the 90s with George C. Scott.
Okay.
So I'd be pretty interested, which I haven't seen, but I'm like, I'd be pretty interested to see that because George C. Scott.
Wasn't there Mask of the Red Death? Wasn't Vincent Price in
Vincent
that?
Price was in
yeah,
that.
Vincent Price was in that Vincent as Price well. Yeah. That. So.
And there was also a Black Cat with Vincent Price.
Yeah, there was. Yeah.
There was.
I love the wine drinking scene in the Vincent Price Black Cat is fucking priceless. Because
kill yourself.
Wow. Okay. You're gonna find me in a ditch in Baltimore.
In someone else's clothes.
In someone else's clothes.
Cause of death unknown.
Yeah. Exactly. Is it election day? Jesus. So it's great. We're sitting across from the dude whose wife he's super into, and they're like trying wine, and this like low rent dude that just isn't as classy as Vincent Price is just nailing what these wines are. He's like, this is 1941, blah blah blah, whatever. You know, oh, it's very good. You know, this is tasty, and he's fucking hammered. And then Vincent Price is doing these weird like weird dumb wine faces, and it's fucking hilarious as he's just trying to get all the notes of the wine and is clearly just underclass by this like blue collar dude who's got this super smoking wife that he wants to fuck, you know, and he's like pissed off as hell. It's brilliant. It's a beautiful scene.
Wasn't the guy who played the blue collar gentleman the actor that played Pauly in Rocky?
No, it was the what's his fuck? Yes, that what's his face?
Same size person though, right?
No, it's the classic actor that was the Yes Master, the guy that always.
God damn it! Oh,
you know who I'm talking about?
You know you're talking about? Yeah. Yes, Master.
But it was when he's older. He is much older than his classic stuff.
Oh, and the Argento was the Black Cat.
Argento was Black Cat.
Yeah, he was Black Cat. Yep. God damn it, that's going to bother me. Who the fuck was that guy? Piss me off. Grr.
So we got the adaptations, but there's also terrible stuff like The Raven, which is about Edgar Allan Poe.
Mm-hmm.
And holy fuck, that's so bad. What I'm actually surprised, though, is that Edgar Allan Poe hasn't been used as a literary figure in comic books nearly as much.
Yeah.
As like doing something like the League of Gentlemen or something, but with Edgar Allan Poe,
right?
Just being a sad panda the whole time, just bitching about everything.
We had a badass Edgar Allan Poe in Altered Carbon.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Had the Raven Hotel.
But he had those fucking guns in the corners, Gatling guns, and fucking gnarly as shit, dude. That was his like best friend the whole fucking season.
That was amazing. Yeah. Right? That was fantastic.
We had like ready to go to war Edgar Allan Poe. Fucking rad.
Edgar Allan, bro.
Hard style.
Yeah, right. Quote, these guys nevermore.
Oh, no. I gave him too much. I gave him too much. I'm sorry. I can't do anything with it. It's done. you know, you think there'd be more. Oh, there was a live film adaptation of The Gold Bug, but that didn't really translate well to the film. Like the story is it done really as a kind of a slow burn? I don't know if anybody's read that one of the stories, The Gold Bug. It's about like they're looking for this brooch. It looks like a bug and it's got jewels in it, but it.
Oh God, right. I didn't see the adaptation.
Yeah. That's one of the ones we had to read in school.
Sure.
And she showed us the movie afterwards and it was like really long and drug out and boring. Cause if you've read the story, you know, it is a slow burn and it wasn't really the greatest one to bring to film.
It's tough to make a short story into a film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really risky maneuver.
Oh, hold on.
I totally forgot about it. Extraordinary Tales. It was animated.
Oh, I was going to bring that up. Yes.
Right.
Yes. I was just like, I was trying to think of it. And
Christopher Lee narrated one of them. That's awesome. Called The House of Bela Lugosi. Yeah, I'm looking at the IMDb. So you have Christopher Lee narrated Bela Lugosi. I'm going to fuck this up because I'm drunk. Bela Lugosi, The Tales of the Heart. Guillermo del Toro narrated one.
Yes.
So yeah, extraordinary. I was trying to think. I was like, what am I trying to think?
It was
of?
On Netflix yes. for a while.
Yeah, it was. And that's where I saw it. So, yeah, Christopher Lee did Follow the House of Usher. Bela Lugosi did Telltale Heart.
Mm-hmm.
Julian Sands did Fact in the Case of M. Valdemar.
Oh, he did. And for those of you who don't know Julian Sands,
Del Toro
well,
did Pit in the Pendulum. Roger Corman did Mask of the Red Death. Because I was trying to think. I was trying to think of what it was. I was like, Christopher nice. Lee did something with it. It was extraordinary.
Christopher
tale.
Lee's done everything.
Yeah, Christopher Lee and Vincent Price. Like, yeah. if it was one or the other.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, so, and the cool thing about that is each story is done with a different animator.
Mm-hmm.
So you get, that's every, you get all these different styles across the board, which is really rad. Like, the Tell Our Heart one, I didn't really care for the animation style, but it was really cool. You have to crank the volume, because it was recorded at a young Bela Lugosi, so the audio is not the greatest. And then plus, his accent, you know. Yeah. So,
but yeah, that's a good part for us to, end the episode on. I think we are at the tail end here. So we definitely look up, if you Google, Poe adaptations, you're going to find a massive list of, films and TV shows and the like that have been adapted from Poe stuff or inspired by. So dive in. It is the Halloween season. It is time to check this stuff out and talk about the original Master of the Macabre being a perfect choice. To sprinkle into your Halloween season. I hope also you spend a little bit of time with us during the Halloween season, checking out our previous Halloween episodes from previous years. It's all on our stream. And the ones coming out, we just did the 31 Days of Halloween movies that we have 32 movies total that we talked about during the episode and gave you a list. Like, there's a calendar on all our social media and stuff of all the different episodes. And now we got Poe, and we're narrowing in. I think we have an idea for the next GUI episode as well. We're keeping that tight-lipped for now. Mm-hmm. So we will part ways at this point. But definitely follow us on GUIpodcast.com. Subscribe, rate us on all the podcatcher apps, all the stuff. You know, tell your friends about it. Share the stuff. Tell the world how much you appreciate the best podcast in Richmond. And yeah, definitely join us next time for another episode of Geeks Under the Influence. I'm Mike the Hobbit, and as we say here, quote the Hobbit, join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
Join us or die. Join us or die. Or I will swallow your soul. Necronomicon gives us power to rise from the dead. You play to take, our plague begins to spread. You can fight all you want, cause you don't you resist. We're here to take the world and rule with an iron fist. So join us or die, join us or die, or I will swallow your soul.
GUIpodcast.com.
Say it ain't Poe.
No.
Whoa.
Stop.